threatening to kill the measure because it fails to include any money to beef up security on the U.S. southwestern border. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 462 points. The Nasdaq is off 216. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. A very vital question is being asked. It's not just asked by this commentator. It is not just asked by some of the conservative commentators on radio and television. The question is being asked by our key leadership in Washington. The question is being asked behind closed doors by the socialist Marxist media, by the Socialist Marxist Communist BLM Democratic Party. The question is being asked, who's going to be the president? Should we run Joe? Is Joe qualified to be running as president of the United States of America? Who is Joe? Where is he? Where does he stand? What does he know? Can he literally run America? Can he be trusted in the Oval Office? We have on the line now 2 or 3 callers. We have Greg Youngblood, one of our 4 sons at discussing this. Greg, I'm looking at a headline that says Special Counsel Robert Hur just canceled the Biden campaign. It's dated February the 8th. Special Counsel Robert Hur just reported that President Joe Biden is too feeble and lacks the mental acuity to remember the names of his immediate family. As far back as 2017, his mental state has deteriorated so much it would not be held accountable in a court of law for his actions. Heard, that is the special counsel, speculated in his reporting, explaining why Joe Biden would not be charged despite violating federal law involving his handling of classified documents. And this writer says, how does this not disqualify him for being president? A very powerful question. Take a moment to address that, and then we'll bring our other callers in.
Well, let's just consider what the world is waking up to today. The world is waking up to that fact that's spelled out by Attorney Hur about Biden and his clear mental deficiency. And at the same time, in the past 72 hours, we've had the breaking news of a Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin. It was a 2-hour interview, and Vladimir Putin spent his first 30 minutes giving you a 1,400-year history of Russia and the Soviet Union and how the empire came together over all these years, and you know what has transpired over all these years. The man was basically, this was a no holds barred interview with Tucker Carlson that the President of the United States, I believe, could not possibly sustain. The idea of a one-on-one for 2 hours straight with hardball questions. Yeah, when we watch that interview, it gives you a. I'm not a cheerleader for Vladimir Putin. I believe he's an evil guy. I believe he's willing to kill people in order to maintain his power, and that's a scary thought. But I'm telling you that the man is mentally fit. Vladimir Putin is the leader of the free world, if you will. The president of the United States is not mentally fit. Z over there, he's contemplating, do I take Taiwan? Right now, the likelihood of a major international conflagration, a major war, has just substantially stepped up. You know, if we will, that what do they call the disaster clock? You know, it's at 11:59 and 59 and a half seconds right now. You know, it's ticking again because the world sees weakness. You know, at the same time, the Senate has just pushed through a $95 billion bill, $95 billion bill to send scads of money over to Ukraine, some money over to Israel, and to joke with the American public that they're interested in securing our own border. They want to send money to our border, but it's just to process illegal aliens more quickly into our country. Do you understand? We're on all these different fronts expressing weakness, weakness as America. That does not bode well for America today.
Absolutely. Greg, hold your thought for just a moment. Kenneth, I believe, is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. And good morning to your son.
Good morning. I pray that you're doing well.
Yes, sir. It's the birth pains that Christ was talking about. But when you ask about Biden being, the leader of this country, it's not him. It's his puppet master. And they need to be arrested. And I'm telling you, it is so sick. Like from Clinton, Obama, and Obama keep in touch with him and tell him what to do.
And, well, it's Obama that's behind the scenes. It's pulling the, how would you say, the strings. And Biden happens to be the puppet.
Yes. And let me ask you another question, Dr. Youngblood. Okay. Now, a president has the right to take classified documents. Obama was a vice president. He does not have the right. So why don't they prosecute him for that?
Well, one of the things, it's not just... Greg, go answer that question. Kenneth is exactly right. President Trump is being prosecuted now because of taking so-called classified documents that, as president, he had the right to summarily declare those documents unclassified and or take them with him. Biden did not have that privilege as senator and vice president. Take it from there and give your thoughts and insights.
Well, the first observation is absolutely right on. Donald Trump has the Presidential Records Act defending his ability to leave the White House with those documents, and then to have a back and two with the National Archives on what he would turn over, what documents he would not. We all know that there was an absolute full-blown raid on Mar-a-Lago to pursue those documents. And, of course, there's a prosecution going on now based on those documents, which, of course, you have two things. You have the case with Bill Clinton with the documents in the sock drawer, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, yeah, he had the authority to keep those documents. And then the Presidential Records Act that codifies a lot of that in federal code. And you've already articulated Biden did not have that. When he absconded from a SCIF, a secure compartmentalized information facility, I believe that's the acronym for SCIF, when he absconded with those documents, he did not legally have a right to take them with him. And those documents were found not only from his days as Senate, but as vice president. And in neither case did he have the authority to leave with the documents nor to keep the documents. And the documents were found in multiple locations, including his home, his garage, non-secure, and at the Penn Biden Center. Now, the Penn Biden Center is interesting because the Penn Biden Center has been funded in the tens of millions of dollars from Chinese contributors. Now, if you find a box or boxes of top secret documents in the Penn Biden Center and a closet that only Biden could have placed there, and they're non-secure, and Chinese interests are funding the Penn Biden Center, do we not have red flags going up? Do we not have red flags going up all over the place? And then now the defense is, well, when we heard about it, we gave them up. You go, show me that in the code. Okay, when you caught me with the sacks of money from the bank I robbed, I gave them back. Don't arrest me. That's an absurd defense. But that's the defense I keep hearing. That's the defense I keep hearing on MSNBC and CNN and all these other, you know, leftist-run news outlets, that he gave them up as soon as he knew about it. No, he knew about it 20 years ago when he left the skiff as a senator. He knew about it a decade ago when he left the White House or the vice president's mansion. He knew about it then. Don't give me he just found out about it. Really? By the way, look at the disparity in treatment. Did they show up with all guns a-blazing? By the way, when they showed up at Mar-a-Lago with all guns a-blazing, understand Mar-a-Lago is secure. Mar-a-Lago had Secret Service on site every time the president was there. The National Archives had already contacted Donald Trump, and they said, hey, by the way, this particular room you're keeping all these records in, we'd love it if you put another lock on it. So literally the cooperation was there, and he had the authority to keep them. But not only did they do the raid, but they also are seeking the process. Disparity of treatment is off the charts. Our DOJ today is an arm of the Democratic Party. It is no longer serving the judicial interest, the security interest, the law enforcement interest of this country. It is now a political arm of the Democratic Party. I'm not saying everybody in those offices happen to be evil, but I'll tell you what, if you're not evil and you're not standing up, well, guess what? You've just sided with evil. This is as perplexing and as discouraging a scenario as you could ever imagine, because once you've lost justice, when right is no longer right and wrong is no longer wrong, what do you cling to, America? Mm-hmm. What do you do in that situation?
Greg, hold your thought for a moment. Kenneth, I think that's a full, complete answer, and I believe that you understand that. We understand that. In fact, sir. In this article that I was just reading, says the best her, that is the investigator, could do was to characterize Biden as a sympathetic character, a feeble old man who made an honest mistake. That may be nice and kind, but there is a country, America, that's at stake. Further, the article states, Democrats cannot run with a candidate that is so mentally incapable he cannot be charged with a crime, yet smart enough to launch the U.S. nuclear weapons or get us in war with Russia over the fate of Ukraine. But until her, that's the investigator, made public what the White House staff and the Democratic National Committee already knew, Biden was their man. Now things are changing, and it's a tectonic change that I believe we're going to witness. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Whoever is controlling him, I know it's the elite, but why you cannot stand trial? If you so dumb you can't stand a trial, how in the heck you going to run the country?
That's my question, brother. And that's the question I pray that our listeners today, especially with Christians and conservatives and patriots, that's the question that I believe demands to be asked and answered. In fact, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help. And we need to recognize, as Christians and conservatives, we need to place our faith and trust and confidence in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and not in the Oval Office, because we are putting our trust in man when we do that. Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood, and also to your son. this is really mind-blowing, and it's like the government, the White House, and Democrats have sold their soul to the devil.
That's right.
And it's like what happened with Joel Osteen at his church. Can you... It makes me shudder to think the mental state of this critical child. Living in a household like that, being taken to a church, living with it, and the demonic spirits that has been around it. I pray to God that that child is wrapped in God's arms, Jesus Christ's arms, and that while he's there, that something takes place, a miracle or something, but he'd be one that got away and will be able to tell the story and be used by God. I really do. Dr. Youngblood, it's a time for praying and to gird up our loins and be ready for what
comes. Yes, it is. And in fact, we need to pray for the lad. Different reports, some say he's 4 or 5 years old. I think the most substantial answer is he's 7 years old. And according to yesterday afternoon's report from the hospital administrator said that there's little hope that he's going to survive. It was a head wound with the shooting, and little hope that he'll survive. But we need to say thank you, Lord, that no more people were injured than literally took place. I'm amazed that 30 or 40 shots were fired and that only one person was hit that was in the audience, 57-year-old man. I'm very, very thankful that we had two men that could pull their weapon, aim and fire, and neutralize the subject, the killer that was in there. Otherwise, hundreds could have been harmed, injured, or killed. And so that's what I'm thankful for. But it shows you that there are people that are mentally, affected, that are demonically controlled, that will go into a house of worship and do that. All we need to keep praying, keep asking God to give us wisdom and strength. But most of all, the overshadowing umbrella thought that we need to have today is that God will protect us as a nation because of who is in the Oval Office with the diminished, depleted cognitive ability that has the control of national security and yet cannot be, viewed as being cognitive enough to stand trial for what he's done. There needs to be serious prayer, as you said, on behalf and on the part of Christians in America.
Yes.
Terry, thank you.
I ask you one more question?
Go right ahead, yes.
Is Joe Biden Joe Biden? Because I don't see how his heart, his body organs, can stand up to all this pressure. Yes, his mind may be clear, but how can you stand underneath this pressure?
Well, number one, he's not standing. He's not cognitively able to know where he is, what he's doing most of the time. The media can ask him questions, but just recently he had a meeting with all of the chief anchors at all of the major networks, where he gave them talking points on what they can say, what they cannot say. So we have a controlled Oval Office. We have a controlled press. We have a controlled people as a result of those that are pulling the strings. But Terry, that should warrant us to be more faithful in praying, seeking God's face, asking God to heal our land. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Let's keep looking up.
Our redemption draweth nigh. Greg? I am concerned about Joe Biden remaining as the presidential candidate. As this article states, Special Counsel Robert Hur just canceled the Biden campaign. Now, with that being stated, I have the statistical data that says that 76% of Democrats do not want Joe Biden to run. 83% of Americans in general are concerned about his running for president. Do you think that there's going to be a grand switcheroo at the Democratic National Convention in July?
I believe if they intend to remain in power, they have no other option. Here's the dilemma they face. They know that as unpopular as Joseph Biden happens to be, that Kamala Harris is less popular than Joseph Biden.
That's right.
Now, Kamala Harris, being of Indian Jamaican descent, she identifies herself as a woman of color. Now, here's the other problem, not just her lack of popularity that they face. They face the potential of, as unpopular as she is, they don't want her to replace Biden on the ticket. So how do you move her to the side without upsetting a constituency bloc? You know, sadly, that's the only way that the Democratic Party looks at people. It's identity politics. They understand when you look at the identity politics of black females in America, more than 90% vote Democrat. I mean, that's just the norm. That's what it's been for 60 years now. And they know that if they remove Kamala Harris from the ticket, they're going to have to replace Kamala Harris with like-kind or someone like Michelle Obama. But Kamala Harris will come unglued if she is not the candidate. I mean, literally, there's a giggling, salivating that's taking place with Kamala Harris right now because she knows that this doesn't look good for Joe Biden. And I think she sees herself as president. I don't know how she ever emerged as attorney general for the state of California and went on to be a senator because a woman can't string together a cogent thought. It's almost as embarrassing as Joe Biden. At least Joe Biden has the age to blame it on. She breaks into giggles when she speaks rather than coming out with a clear, articulate statement. But regardless, that's their challenge. I'm not going to worry about their challenge. That's on them. I think we need to be most concerned from a political standpoint about having a free and fair election, which mm-hmm. I've not seen a single piece of substantial legislation that could help us ensure a free and fair election. We know that tens of thousands of people, state by state by state, vote in multiple states. I believe the number in North Carolina was 26 or 28,000 were registered and voted in a state other than North Carolina. That's old data. That's really old data. But if that's old data and they've not cleaned the books, how many folks are registered in two or three or four or half a dozen states? How many folks are voting that didn't know they voted or died and they're still voting? Because we know that takes place over and over and over. People have been interviewed and they said, well, I haven't voted in the last three general elections, yet they voted in the last election. What do you do with the fact that, you know, the ballot fraud has been going on since we first begun absentee ballots? Now, did y'all know that? You know, I just posted, go to my Facebook page, I just posted the history of the first absentee ballots in the United States, and that was under, of all folks, Abraham Lincoln, because you had Union soldiers off at war when he ran for election in, 1860, because he was killed in 1863. Union soldiers were, if you will, on the battlefield. Well, how do we get them to vote? We'll give them the opportunity to vote by mail. And very quickly it was discovered there was an initiative in New York to get the ballots, vote on the ballots, forge the signatures, and send them in. Now, that was 160 years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
160 years ago. 160 years ago. And nothing's really changed. It's still that easy to fraudulently affect the ballot. What's going to happen, folks? Now, hopefully we don't have another pandemic between now and then and have universal mail-in ballots. Hopefully we're not at war on our own soil then and, you know, compel either no election or universal absentee ballots. But I predict that the bigger thing will be not who's on the ballot, but how do they monkey with the ballot? How do they mess with it? How do they literally, as they did in the last election, affect it substantially in six different jurisdictions, places like Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Maricopa County, Arizona, Fulton County, Georgia. How do we prevent the fraud? And if for anybody that says, well, they never proved substantial fraud, doesn't have to be substantial, only substantial in isolated locations. Dense populations with complete Democrat totalitarian control like Fulton County, like Lancaster County, like Maricopa County, y'all check it out. See if I'm not telling the truth. That's where we had all these hiccups. And it takes manipulating the vote in those jurisdictions, those places, to affect the vote in those states and then make the dominoes fall in favor of the preferred candidate. Now, they had the assistance of the intelligence agencies, FBI, DHS, DOJ, and CIA. They had the assistance there. And by the way, that's all provable. That's all information's out in the public square. You just can't get it from Google. You know, chase those things down, you realize how corrupt things are.
Mm-hmm.
I must say
Greg, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Brother, I just want to make a quick comment. I don't know if you follow some of the news in Latin America. I do, as a Hispanic. Well, look at the similarities. The blueprint in Nicaragua that dictator Ortega passed a law making his opponent not eligible for being put in the ballot. In Cuba, it's the same mentality. And in Venezuela, there's a well-qualified lady that she's been running through the country, campaigning and speaking to the people. And they did a survey. He's ahead on the polls, almost 80%. That's what the dictator in Venezuela did, Maduro. Remove her from the ballot. So he's going to run without any opponent. The same mindset of the Democrats in the United States. The only difference is in Latin America, they do it with their bare hands. Here in the U.S., they do it with silk gloves. That's the difference. But they know they're behind on the polls. They know that's a sorry president. Nothing has done that is working. So guess what they're going to do? The same thing that those dictators do in Latin America. And people are not seeing it. Stopping their opponent because they don't have nothing else to offer. That's very unconstitutional. And it's sad to see the media like that according to the rule of law. I mean, this is sickening, brother. We have to do a lot of prayer. That's my comment because I know the tiny shirt. God bless you, brother. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you, Jose, for that insight. Greg, how do you respond to that? We got about a minute and a half on the broadcast. Respond to that and then wrap us up with your thoughts.
Well, yeah, your totalitarians, your fascists, your dictators around the world, they seek to remove people from the ballot. They can't remove them from the ballot. Then they seek to prosecute those individuals. Put them in jail. You know, that's been done over and over and over. And the third thing that they often try to do, and this has been assisted by groups like our CIA, they seek to kill the individual so that they don't appear on the ballot. And it's perverse, but that's just a wicked truth in the world today. I would say, you know, in closing, I think about Corrie Ten Boom and, you know, all that she went through. And she was there in the Ravensbrück concentration camp there in Germany during World War II. And just the evil that she was put through. But she has a lot of wonderful quotes, folks. One of her quotes is, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." And really, all that we deal with in life, you know, who do you trust? Who do you lean on? And our trust is not to be in the world, not to be in some political figure, not to, you know, be in our bank account, not to be in 10,000 other things, but our faith ought to be in the Lord. And Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That's the focus. That's the only hope in the midst of the chaos, is putting our hope, our trust firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Greg, you're exactly right, and I pray that our listeners have tuned in and absorbed what has been said, take it to heart, and as we find in the scripture, we need to trust in the Lord, as you said. We need to go and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. He is the only one that can revolutionize and change, but we need a revival in America. We need to turn back to God. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for exposition.